This session of the 2013 Adelaide Festival of Ideas was recorded by Radio Adelaide through the support of the Bar Smith Library, University of Adelaide, the University of South Australia Library and Flinders University Library.
Welcome to this session at the Adelaide Festival of Ideas. My name is Richard Kuipers. I'm a film critic with the international trade paper Variety, and I'm very excited to welcome you to this session of Behind the Story of Beatrice's War. Before we start, I would like to acknowledge that today we're gathered on the traditional country of the Kaurna people of the Adelaide Plains. We recognise and respect their cultural heritage, their beliefs and their relationships with the land. We also acknowledge that they are of continuing importance to the Kaurna people living today, and we respect their elders past and present. Just a few little bits of housekeeping before we get going. Please turn your mobile phones off now and don't be tempted to check anything while the session's on. Thank you. And you're also welcome to connect with the festival as it continues for the rest of the day. The tweet handle is at ADLFOI. The hashtag is hashtag ADLFOI. And Instagram, if you're into that, as I know lots of people are these days, is at ADLFOI or hashtag ADLFOI. There's a theme there, isn't there? unauthorised recordings aren't permitted during the session, and today's session is being recorded by Radio Adelaide for broadcast and in future podcasts. We will have time for questions and answers at the end of the session, but at the as we get into it, I would just like to introduce some very, very special guests that we have here today, and I'm really thrilled about this film. Beatrice's War is the first film made in East Timor, and for me, I'm extremely excited about this film because it's part of I've been on this extremely lucky run in the last year or so where I've happened to see the very first film made by several countries or principalities, including Guam, the Marshall Islands, Laos, and now East Timor, and it's tremendously exciting. Some of you will have seen the film, some of you will not have seen the film. In a very broad sense, for those of you who haven't seen the film, we don't want to talk too much about the intricacies of the plot, but basically it's the story about a woman who lives through the period of East Timor, of Indonesian occupation during East Timor from 1975 until virtually the present day. It's a love story, and it's about a woman's devotion to her husband who goes missing during the war, and he returns, but his identity is not assured when he returns. It's a sweeping film that takes in a lot of history of East Timor. I learned a lot during this film, and I was amazed at how the film was actually made. It's quite an astounding achievement. And I would like to introduce you to the key production people involved in this film. On my far right, I have Luigi Acquisto, who is the co-writer and the co-director of the film. Luigi's a highly respected Australian producer and director of drama and documentary. He has an involvement going back to the late 1990s in East Timor. He made a very important documentary, a two-part documentary called East Timor, Birth of a Nation in 2002, followed by a film called Rose's Story, which continued that story made in 2006. Some of the workshops that Luigi was involved in were instrumental in this film coming together. Next to him is the co-director of the film, Betty Reich. She's one of East Timor's, if not East Timor's, leading filmmaker. She's been involved in theatre as a writer, producer, director. She also acts in the film. She plays Beatrice's mother. And she's the co-founder of Dilly Filmworks. Dilly Filmworks is the production company of this film in association with Fair Trade Films, but they are the first production entity in East Timor, the first film and television production entity in East Timor. Betty's also made short films that have screened at international film festivals. Next to her, we have Ludes Pirish, who is a co-producer of the film. Ludes has been in Australia since 1975. She left East Timor at that time after the invasion by Indonesia. She has a remarkable story, which we'll hear more about, which is tied into the making of this film. Ludes returned to East Timor in 1999, and she's worked as a consultant with the UN and was also the Serious Crimes Commission that's investigated crimes that happened during the Indonesian occupation. And she was also associate producer of East Timor, Birth of a Nation and Rose's Story. Next to Ludes, we have Jose da Costa. He plays the role of Thomas, the husband in the film, who goes missing and then returns after a long absence. Jose is East Timor's leading actor. He's been in international productions including Answered by Fire, an Australian-Canadian miniseries about the lead-up to and the aftermath of the 1999 referendum that ultimately produced Timor's independence, and also in the feature film Balibo. Several people involved in this film have also worked on Balibo. And finally, on the far side, we have Irim Tolentino, who is the lead actress of the film. She plays Beatrice. She's also the co-writer of the film with Luigi. And in both respects, she's done an absolutely remarkable job. And it's a great pleasure and a great thrill to have the representatives, the key representatives of the very first film made by the world's youngest official sovereign nation here at the Adelaide Film Festival. The film has screened twice, and now we're here to talk about how this film came to be made and also what it means for a country, a very small country with very limited resources, to produce a feature film and have it released on the international stage. So to start the discussion today, I'd first like to ask Luigi and Irim as well. You were the co-writers of this film, the co-creators. So the origins of this film begin, of course, every story begins with a script and an idea. I'd like to know how that idea first came into being and how the two of you, as the co-writers, worked at the refining of the story and the path that this story took. Why Beatrice's War?
Okay, well, thank you very much, Richard. It's a great pleasure to be here. The idea for the film came about after we worked on Balibo. Stella and I were the production coordinators on the film Balibo. We did all the logistics for it. And at that time, Irim came to work on the film as the extras coordinator. So Irim was casting extras, rehearsing extras, workshopping them, and that's how we met. And we saw a phenomenal acting talent, which I think is evidenced in the film. And so the idea started with wanting to work with Irim as an actor, and then it evolved into, let's co-write a script. Irim's also an author, an award-winning fiction author in East Timor. And so that's how it started. The actual idea for the film was always to explore the broad landscape of the history of Timor, of the resistance. But we knew that if we were simply, you know, that could be unwieldy and it could be too didactic. So I remember one of my favourite stories, novellas, is The Wife of Martin Gere by Janet Lewis, which I studied many, many years ago. But it's always resonated. And then, of course, that story is based on real events that happened in the 16th century in France. And there were a number of films made based on those on that storyline, The Return of Martin Gere, Somersby. And so we took the skeleton of the Martin Gere story and were true, I think, to the original novella, which the focus is on the woman, on, in this case, Beatrice, not on the husband. Whereas the film, The Return of Martin Gere, very much focused on the husband's return and creating empathy for the husband and so on. So we took that story, a very simple story about a young husband disappears, returns many years later, and then the wife gradually starts to suspect that he's an imposter, and the story plays out from there. So we took that simple story and used it to tell the story of East Timor, so that, you know, the event where the husband disappears, he doesn't simply leave as he does in the original stories. He disappears after one of Timor's most infamous massacres in a place called Kraras. So where all the men in the village, boys and children, males, were killed, and the village then became known as the Village of Widows. And so that's how we started with that concept and started developing it. And Iram and I worked on it together in different ways. For a while, we were based in Timor, but then after that, it was done more remotely through emails. So do you want to contribute to that?
Yeah, Iram, yes, if you could tell us about your experience of working through the story.
How could you? I'll speak in Tetum, so Mana Lourdes will help me to translate. Hanesang ohin mang lui jitian, ami hasuru wang hira sira ba filmi, halo filmi Balibo 5.
As Luigi said earlier, we met when we were making the film Balibo 5.
No, wang hira how film, ajuda ya film ini, how sinti katak, how hare katak film ini, hanesang ihan ninyo forsa tebes, atu hanesang media ide ho di konta historia Timor ninian.
During that process, I saw that that film was a great bridge to tell Timorese stories.
How atene ya tempo ne ba mang Luigi niya preocupate tebes atu atende buat ototo ma beha foto tempo tuang atu bah kuliah nene konia katak bele kala ya tempo ruma bele mai fale hamutu ko ami halo filmi ida ba Timor.
And I knew that at the time Luigi was very busy. But when I found a little time, I went to ask him if he could come back another time to make a small film in Timor.
Depois tempo lá da Dauk, how Hain my best idea kiha batruma, notoi he 2009, how Rona sira fo telefone how katak sira karak, how atu hakerak historia o how sinti contenti la limar.
And it was some time, after some time, I got a phone call from Luigi saying that he would like to write a story with me, and I was very excited, very happy with that.
Tempo ne hafo in semana parto semana rua no tuir tradisional Timor Nenyang la bele sai husi uma ma be hau kontra hau nia banin sira tambah tempo ami la mutuk hau ba no hakerek story dene.
At the time, I had just given, it was 2 weeks after I gave birth to my little one, and in our tradition, women are not allowed to leave the house till after 4 weeks. But yes, I broke tradition, and against my in-laws' wishes, I left and went to write to help write the story. That was the start, I guess.
And we worked in English.
Yeah.
We worked in English. Iram does, you know, speak and
Utuan, how kuliah utuan, no how go comprende ia tetung, how dia yang lefungan esane, depois sira makakere ke Inggris.
Yeah, I whatever I couldn't understand, I would say the word in tetung, and then they wrote it in English.
My next question is for you, Betty. Betty, you were 16 years old when the referendum was held to determine East Timor's future. And I was wondering how those feelings and your history and what you had seen as an East Timorese person over these very intense years, how that affected you or how that influenced you in the preparation of the film, in the story that you saw coming through that Iram and Luigi were working on together.
Okay. Obrigado, Barak. Honra voto da manhã, né?
Thank you very much. It's a great honor to be here.
When here, halo filmi dene, I los iha momento ne iha bot barak ne bemaka ema barak kasoro iha tempo na ba when here mi hetong kuang.
Yes, it's correct. That was a time that I did encounter a lot of issues.
You see, you see, feel me, Dene, Hanesang, conta fila fale, a mihototi experience, Hane, iha parte, hirak nebe maka, iha feel me, Dene, Nilara.
In this film, we were able to tell stories that touched everybody, including myself.
Bahau filmi den importante la limar wehira mi servisu hamutuk wahira halo filme ne lao amidi da ho ninia paixão serviço makas kata bele conta história ne mas que toda mai be amia kara te te sai kata para tu ne amne geração ba oi ser bele hate ne kata buat hirak ne be makliu la os botre ke fase e ma barak hasoru ne la os botre ke Kikua, my bot, suplemente ke bot, Halimar.
This was not only my story, but it was a story that we would be able to tell and share, and also the story of others. It was heavy, emotionally heavy, because it was brought back lots of memories, and I'm sure it brought back lots of memories of all the others that did take part in the film. It was. But we needed to tell a story, and we got together and did it.
And I'm interested in the sense of responsibility you felt as the person who would be directing not just any story, but the, in many ways, for the world, the first story that we see.
Responsabilidade de ter de responsabilidade a de até de história para o mundo.
Sim, a responsabilidade que a mim tem que contar a história. E a minha mãe, a história para que eu tenha a minha vida de te sai. Por exemplo, li o seu filme, a minha vida de sair para o mundo. Toma, e a história que é los e a minha mãe, mas também acontece e a minha
It's our tradition to tell stories, and for me it was I needed to tell the story, and sometimes you can't tell your own story, and through a film like this you can tell the story.
And Lourdes, I'd just like to continue with you and also with Stella, who is the co-producer of the film, who's down here taking photos. When you were putting this project together, it's the first time that a film has been made, and there's no film industries in East Timor. How did you and Stella and everybody else involved in the project make... How do you make something like this happen when you are starting from nothing, really? How do you pull all the elements together to actually make a feature film in a country where one has never been made by the people from that country before?
It was difficult in some way, but in other ways it was easy because it's never happened. So it was easy just to get everyone together and to tell that it was going to be a big story and it would be a chance for people to tell. I guess our biggest problem was the finances. We didn't have the finances to start, and We needed to fundraise, we needed to ask for sponsors, and people were happy to help, yes. It's, in some ways, the government was the hardest to take us on board because they didn't think that film was a priority for a newborn nation or for development, for that matter. Mm.
Oh, it's good to know there are some things that are consistent amongst governments all over the world, but I would say from this and from many films I've seen that you cannot underestimate the value of exporting culture, exporting stories. Jose, you play the lead role in this film, the lead male role in this film, and there are many stories within the film that are partly about people's lives, experiences that they've had, experiences of friends and family. And I'd like to ask you about how your involvement in the film played in with your history and experiences that you've had in the past during that time when East Timor was occupied by Indonesia.
Yes, I think in this role, I play a role that opposite into my beliefs, and I try to be a good guy and at the same time trying to reverse the characters into a real life, I guess, to transform the story. I guess in this film, I was grow up in the situations where, you know, always being oppressed. And also at the same time, I witness, you know, people that act in opposite ways. What I mean is that during the Indonesians' invasions, some Timorese were actually working with the Indonesians to kill their own people because that's act on self-interest. And of course, we witnessed in 1999 a lot of Indonesian army used the Timorese people to burn down the city. And then after that, some of the militia actually regret, you know, what they have done to their own people and what they have act against their own will. And they are actually seeking the forgiveness into their own country and their own community. So I guess the character that I play, it's like for me, it's very, very complicated because I'm independence, strong independence supporter, and I always stand against injustice. And then I was in 1991, you know, I was imprisoned by the Indonesians, and I have to hide from the Indonesians' army. But in this film, I have to play the characters that betrayed the evil and the good and the evils. So yeah, but it is part of our story, and then it also we want to transfer that story into our own community so that people can understand what is the real reconciliation means. So I guess the character I play, it's a complex, but I actually enjoy it. And I put into a lot of imaginations, a lot of work, but yeah, I actually... and then some people come to me and say, well, you play that well, so who are you? Yes, I'm still Jose, and I'm still... but at the same time, yeah. So. Mm.
Yes, because there's... it's a highly emotional film, as you can imagine. It portrays some extremely confronting and tragic and heartbreaking events. And I'd like to know from each of you, when the film was in production, when you were shooting the film, how you approached the representation of many of the events, the true events that happened in the film, and what sense you had and what feeling you had. Perhaps I could start with you, Betty, about just the... and Luigi as well, in directing some extremely heartbreaking, is the only word I can think of, scenes involving events that happened, the massacre of all the men in a particular village that left a village of widows.
I'll just give a little bit of background,
Luigi,
on the for those who haven't seen the film. We actually filmed, recreated the massacre that happened at Kudarras in 1983, and we filmed in the village where it happened, with the community that many of whom had lived there and been there in 1983. And that included, you know, a number of men who had survived the massacre, and many of the women who had lost their husbands, their fathers, their sons during the massacre. And in that, I mean, Lourdes also played a very important role in the creative side of the film in terms of talking, liaising with communities, whilst, you know, Betty was solidly directing and rehearsing actors, and I would often be doing the logistics, you know, very much what a first assistant director would do, to plot, you know, to block out the scenes, check locations. And so, you know, Lourdes was also essential in researching how we were going to shoot things. And in Kararas, you know, what Lourdes discovered, first of all, was that the community was very open and very supportive of the film, and intent on us getting it right. So they choreographed, walked us through what happened on the day of the massacre and the event that preceded the massacre, which was the attack by Falun Tur by the resistance on Indonesian, 14 Indonesian soldiers who lived in the camp. And then some of them who played the extras wanted to play themselves. There was one resistance member who had shot an Indonesian soldier, and so he wanted to play that role again. Yes. Sounds a bit macabre, but he did, and he did it with great pride. And so the choreography, the timing, all of that continued to be embellish, I guess, the script as we were on location. And there's one very telling detail that we included in the film that Lourdes discovered through her research, was that before they opened fire on 200 men whom had been arrested for in retribution for what had happened, of civilians, but what had happened a month earlier when the resistance attacked the Indonesians, and for the defection of Timorese working with the Indonesians, Hansip was it? Working with the Indonesians, their defection, they were often soldiers who had been captured and were a militia for the Indonesian army, they defected back to the resistance. So the rounding up of these men was to make sure there were no more men to defect, basically. But what the Indonesian military did was that they forced the men to sing Fohor Ramalau, which is the anthem of the resistance, which was a song that was banned. And that perhaps justified the killing, or was just a perverse detail. And at that moment, they opened fire and massacred 200 men, children, babies. And that detail is now in the film. And it's something that, yeah, it was part of that whole process of, you know, how we worked with communities, often very closely, very frantically, because we never had enough time. But
to get those kinds of stories, you know, that scene is many strong, powerful, unforgettable scenes. Mm. That is one particularly strong film. And to get that kind of detail, the preparation and the consultation that you need to do with communities, people involved, and getting people to open up and tell their stories. Lourdes, when you were doing research and connecting with communities, was there resistance to telling stories, or people are very happy to tell their stories? I'm interested in how that came about, and also as the story of the film grew, as people became more aware of this film being made and more details of it, how that was viewed by people.
Everybody wanted to be part of the film, especially the older generation, which they said, we want to tell the story to the world. We want people to know that we exist. We want people to know that there was a massacre here. And we also want people to know that we still want justice. We still want justice. Some of our children were taken away. And were mostly women. In Kraraj, for example, the lady who did the talk at the unveiling or the taking of the black, she specifically asked if she could do it because her sister, Harakai, was killed that day and she was never been able to take the black. She's never been able to do it. Was it okay if she did it? Then she brought her sisters along and the sisters all wanted to take part. They went and arranged the flowers the way they wanted and they said, this is how we do it. And offered to go. They did the flowers, they did the baskets, that was all done by them, yeah.
And should I add that? Yes. Go ahead, Luigi.
Normally in Timor, after 1 year, the mourning period ends and the black is removed.
Yes.
Hare Kai's sister hadn't removed
yes.
the black until we filmed it. So yes. that was a very powerful... So 30 years later, for our film, you know, they stopped their mourning.
Because the one-year period had turned into more than 30 years.
Yeah, but traditionally, it's normally after 1 year.
Wow.
Betty?
Yeah. And of course, during the massacre, the family, you know, those body, the family never buried them. So in this film, you know, a lot of them, they pick up the rocks in the river to represent the bodies that you know that the Indonesian killed. So it was one of the powerful in this film, because yes, it is very really represent the East Timor culture, because if someone that died 10 or 15 years ago, we never find their body. Yeah, we just pick up a rock or maybe a bone just to represent them, just to symbolize that, you know, yeah, we have a body, the family.
And I would like to ask Iriam and Betty this question, an observation. It's such an incredibly powerful story about women in war, women in hardship, women surviving. Very, very moving in that sense. And I'd like to know how, in the making of the film and in the structure of the film, you as women, as Timorese women, telling this story, how that affected you, and how you feel about telling particularly this very, very strong women's story and bringing this story of women in war to the world.
Ia partnya kata menghirar halo komesa koko dia tarif historia ni lau kata historia ni konta bafetor ni historia hau kontent tep estamba bele fosai kata feto barak he Timor sir sempre taka ser ni historia la koi fosai.
In the beginning, when I read the script and it was a story of a woman, and it's so powerful. I was very happy because it could also tell the story of other women. Many women in Timor, they don't talk. They don't tell their stories for whatever reasons. Yeah, and I was happy to. That was so powerful, and I could tell other women's stories as well.
Yeah. Yeah, part of the next... Wo hira servisi filmi dene kulia kono ba feto iha ware kata kulia barak di kono ba unsa feto ni historia durante iha kupasang unsa sir ni luta ne be maksira tau no kela iha sir ni ang
and also the film told the story of women, their struggles and how they now had to face other things, and this was quiet, but yet needed to be told.
Ibuat barak nebe makas senti kata todang hela iha serni fuang. Buat barak masir lakong wang hira iha tinang hirak ni larang iha okupasaong iha unsa serni luta. E a parte da cata, vou ser me bem claro com se era for por duas, se era, mas bem se era sempre aquilo, cata, e a ser me fã, se sempre aquilo, a cara que é justiça. Também da nei, a filme da nei, ao contente lá ali, mas cata que bela, colhe a cona, ba, oiça, feito da minha ang, ou representa, é mohoto, me bem aqui, a nei, cata, a cara que justiça.
And through this film, I could express what the women were saying, their sufferings, the torture, all the things that they went through during all those years. And also, I heard them asking for justice. And this probably could be a way that at the end we could express what the women wanted, justice.
Even the quiet, they just heart say, I want justice.
That's a very interesting point, and it's my question to Irim now, and it is about this point about justice. The government says things like it's time to reconcile and to forgive and move forward, but there's also this sense of justice. And in the film, Beatrice finds it very hard to forgive and forget. And I'm wondering how accurate that is about, as a metaphor for East Timor, for Timorese society, about the difference or the questions between reconciliation, forgiveness, and that sense of justice.
I just try to add what Betty has mentioned before. When I see the script, when the script was ready, I think it's going to be powerful about the women participation things, because often, like in Timor, we know that men are more considered more powerful in everything, yeah, in making a decisions, in any involvement and everything. So even though women already participated in during the war, but sometimes men more consider more like more like a heroes. How about the curriculum about the tune date? Tamba Sira Hareli, Bafetonia involvement, Sira Ladung, La Hanesang, Sirijang Fetonia contribution, in a Bemaka Fortilius, a character Sira Leba Kilat, or the Lautun Saya for
women's contribution is only strong and they give recognition if women were holding weapons, if they were in front line.
Ma besira lahare hanesang ba feto balu nebe maka hanesang fo hanesang defende sirenya an defende sirenya familia defende sirenya manesira ho hanesang sai hanesang vitima ba violencia ho bot hanesang bot nebe maka itare ba psychologia feto ninian.
But they didn't see what women did to protect themselves, to protect the family, many times to protect the men, and the effects they have done to women later.
So ne interestebes atu hatudu ba ita se ami haremos ba realidad di Timor ni agora katak violencia domestica ne se astebes.
We see that in the reality in Timor now, the domestic violence is very high.
Filmi denemos fuhano intebes ba mane Timor sira katak atu apresia fetonia valor ba iha. Yeah, by it and Morris.
And this also helps as a reminder to our men that continue to give value and to honor women.
Although we are now in like situation of liberdade ona, may be la os.
We are free. We are independent.
May be contribution nairua nese na fating para.
But they should continue to contribute.
So. Thank you for valor ne beke igual ba feto
man. Needs to give equal value to men and women.
No, that's good. That actually leads perfectly to what I was going to talk about next, and that was the impact of the film, because the film has been, you have shown the film in East Timor, where I believe a lot of people who have seen the film have never actually seen a film before. I'm very interested in the response you've had when you've shown the film in East Timor, in the screenings that it's had. And I believe it just opened theatrically, commercially the other day. Is that right, Luigi? Yeah.
It started on Thursday. There is a cinema in Dili now, quite a good cinema, two cinemas, and it's running four times a day for hopefully about a month. We've been so busy, we don't know how it's doing, but you know, we assume it's doing quite well. There's been a lot of interest. But before that, it did tour the districts, and it still is. And in places like... Well, the world premiere was in Claras. We, Lourdes and everyone here went back to Claras and showed the film to that community. So they were the very first people to see it. It toured the districts in Mariana, where Iram lives. It was shown to 2,000 people, and then the next night another 2,000, and then, you know, they chanted and wanted it shown again immediately. And the Dili premiere, which was the red carpet event, and was on September 17, which was the 30th anniversary of the Claras massacre. So I was there for the premiere in Dili, but not for the other... the tour of Timor, so I know Lourdes and Iram.
Yeah, I would love, yes, I would love to know that. Your responses to perhaps, when the film was first screened, what it's like.
We were very nervous when we went to Claras to show. It was raining, the roads were really bad. You know, four-wheel drive wasn't good enough for the road. We eventually got there, and there's a dispute between the village chief and the chief of the community. They hadn't been able to talk for some time, and we were ready to show film. There's no power, there's no water, there's no electricity, so we only had our four-wheel drives, which we used the car to power to start the film, and also to light up the place so that people could come. And we waited for something like 2 hours, and the chief wouldn't come out. Eventually, Gaspar and I decided, well, we're going to get the chief. And we went to get the chief, and he said, well, I don't really want to go there because my place is better. And the chief of the community said, this is better. And I said, fine, we need to speak to the man that does all this. He's the one that knows what is the best place to show. But we had talked about it, and we decided a place where it was neutral, near the school, everyone could come, and we could start the film. Anyway, so we did, and he'd said, oh, I had a look at that place, but I can't get the car there, the screen won't fit there. Eventually, we did it at this place. When we finished, everyone was talking to one another. So I think... it was good because we brought the people together. In other places that we went, it was also the same. People started talking about, oh, so we were not the only ones that fought for the independence. They did as well. You know, oh, and those did as well. We thought we were the only ones.
So at the time of the struggle, there wasn't so much the sense of communication
because of the Indonesian
interaction amongst people, knowing, as you said, who was involved, who did what.
Yes. Because of the way the Indonesian made the disinformation and also transmigration within the country, where they brought people from the coast to the mountains, and they sent people from inland into islands, so people didn't have contacts. Yeah.
Liu iha ane sang parte haunian, hau iha Maliana, ni ane sang parte oeste, Nusi Timor.
Especially in Maliana, where I come from, it's at the
parte
eastern
oeste,
part.
Oeste,
yeah.
West part, and it's close to the border, so it's it's very difficult to move around. And often we don't know what is happening in the east. And difícil halimar. Tamba iha neba movimento militar bara kal halimar.
Because of a lot of military movement.
Na duni ho filmi dane wanghira ami lansa iha Maliana sira barak makak fodak. Tamba afinal iha mos masakre aliende masakre Santa Cruz no masakre sir seluk ne bema kasira hatene no uniku liu tamba sir hak fodak ho vile dene bolu narang village of widow ne bema kasira sinti tristi teptebes ho itene.
When we showed the film, the people were shocked because they thought, oh, there was another massacre it wasn't only the Dili massacre and others that they knew, but that this was another massacre.
No, unikuliu tamba fatini bolu village of Vido.
And they were shocked to learn that that village was called the village of widows.
Yeah, yeah.
They were shocked. Yes.
No, that's quite. It's quite amazing because we don't often think that. In the world that we live in of mass communications, that these kinds of things still exist and that people are becoming aware of things in their own history that they're completely unaware of, which is one of the great things that I think film, that cinema can do in terms of reaching people, educating people and connecting people. So it's one of the, apart from the entertainment value of the film, because it is a very moving film as well. It's a very moving love story. So there are many facets to the film. I'll go to a few questions in a minute, but just before we do, I'd just like to know where the film stands now. You've come to the Adelaide Film Festival, which is absolutely brilliant, and where to from here for Beatrice's story?
Okay, well, there will be a theatrical release in Australia next year, and we're working out the model for that at the moment. And we've got a number of options, whether to go with the conventional route with a distributor or work with a consultant and self-distribute. And I think we'll probably do the latter so that, you know, as much of any income or revenue that the film generates does go back to Dili Filmworks. But in terms of screenings that are coming up, there's one in Melbourne on Wednesday. We thought we should show it in Melbourne, given that so many of the people from Timor are here. So a number will be continuing to Melbourne. And then that's filled two cinemas already at in Yarraville. And then there's a screening in the Blue Mountains, which is an organisation there contributed to the film. And this is a way of saying thank you. They're supporting Timor. This will be a fundraiser for Timor. The next festival is the International Film Festival of India in November. So the film's just been finished. Adelaide showed an interest in the film quite a while ago, that's why it's here, but the film itself was only finished probably a month ago, the final print. And so it's, you know, it's starting that festival circuit. So, you know, that will be a very exciting experience, I think, for Betty and Irem. Irem there, and they're flying both of them over, so
yes,
that'll be wonderful. You'll
all have to get prepared for lots of travel, because yes. I would expect that the film would play at lots and lots of festivals and generate quite some interest.
And also SBS came on board very early on with an acquisition. You know, it was not a huge amount of money, but we get the money upon delivery, so we don't have that money yet. But it will be shown on SBS and the World Movie Channel at some stage after it finishes its cinema season here in Australia.
Great. Are there any questions regarding the film to the filmmakers, or even questions about the role of cinema in various aspects of life and politics? We'd be very welcome to take any of your questions for any of the panel here. They'd love to answer any questions you might have about the film or about their involvement and their process of making the very first film ever. So if you do have a question, please raise your hand. There's a microphone up there, but I think which we do probably need you to use because we're recording today. But if anyone does have a question, please pop up your hand. I'll keep an eye out for you. But if we don't at the moment, we might just... Yes, we do have a question. Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations on the film, and such a very bold political statement for your first film. The courage is absolutely incredible. I was really fascinated by the kind of cross-messages that were happening and the kind of whole theme of trust, particularly between families and the way that families are divided against each other, and particularly the way that how can I explain it, how families have been devastated by this trust. Your trust had been attacked and undermined so much. I just want to add, the reason why I want to ask a question about trust and what you think the future for trust is in Timor is because when I was in East Timor, I remember particularly one of the colleagues I worked with, he was from a royal family as well, and all of his surrounding family had been undermined and decimated and divided. So I just want to ask about trust and the future of trust with this movie.
Thank you. Trust.
I will answer the question.
Jose, thank you.
All right. Well, in terms of trust in Timor, it's one of the big questions, because we have been our society have been influenced by the both colonizers, you know, Portuguese and then Timorese, and of Portuguese and Indonesia. Sorry, apologies. And during the Indonesia occupations, we've been struggling. I guess we have been struggling amongst ourselves, and a lot of Timorese joined the Indonesian army, and at the same time, we also formed the clandestine movement. Means that, you know, we try our best to convince those East Timorese that who actually affiliated with the Indonesians, and of course, we gained some small number, and then also got some information from some of the East Timorese who actually joined the Indonesian army. And then that is one of the contributions to our independence, because we are a very, very small country, and we are actually surrounded by the Indonesian army. So you are talking about, you know, millions of people against 500,000 of Timorese populations. So one way that we access to the information is through the clandestine network. So it is us, and also some of our comrades is actually working with the Indonesians. So that is one step. And the next step is that we are gaining our independence. So we have to ask the question, where we go from here? So this is that, this is what we are actually, at the moment, you know, we still reconcile ourselves, you know, amongst ourselves, with the Timorese that actually, you know, join the militias, and yes, and I guess this film also educate our society how to accept, you know, those Timorese that destroying their own people.
Yeah. So, e a parte aí com o Zuanhira, Beatriz larang mono na ba Tomas no ni realize kata Tomas ne hanesang Emma Traidorida.
When Beatriz fell in love with Tomas, and also when she realized that Tomas was a traitor.
Idane for hanoing ba Emat nudar Timoruan katak nudar Timoruan hanusamos ita tengkesimo ita niya maluk Timoruan sira ba bonebe maka iha opinion ni bema diferente ho ita.
It teaches the Timorese how to accept the other Timorese that went over the other side and are different from us.
No hadomi sira nudar Timoruan
and learn to love them as Timorese.
mai bine iha parte idei tamu stenge hareba justisa kata buat ni bema criminal ita tenge buka dalan para insa justisa nena fating lao.
And on another hand, we also have to look at the side that were the criminal side, if they committed a crime, and then how they should be tried for the crimes that they committed.
No how koko atu refleta filafali katak feto timor dala barak difisil tebes atu kulia kona ba justisa ladung iha lian kaya forsa atu kulia kona ba justisa.
It is difficult for Timorese women to talk, and sometimes they don't have a voice to talk about justice.
Filmi dane koko atu fokoraging no how senti katak nia bele fohano in filafali ba emahotu fanon feto sira nomos aminia governo sira para tu hare katak justisa na importante.
And this film also takes that voice and reminds the government and reminds the our Timorese sisters to continue to fight, and the government to listen that there needs to be justice.
Yes, down here. If you could just, sorry to send you all the way up there, we just need that. We'll have time for this question and then we must wrap up, but thank you for your question.
My name's Andy Alcock. I'm from the Australia East Timor Friendship Association, and I want to say that we think the film was terrific, and it brings out all of those sorts of things that the cast have told us this afternoon. But there are some implications for Australia, and I think that these are the things that we need to be taking the messages from that film and from the cast and raising those issues with people in Australia. There's the whole issue of justice. That's extremely important because the Timorese have been denied it.
I'm really sorry to interrupt you like that.
Yeah, the question
we can
is about...
We can only take questions. We don't have time for statements.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, but that's what we have to do.
Well, I'm coming on to my question, which is about East Timor's oil and gas, which is being taken by Australian governments, the richest country in our region, ripping off from the poorest country of the region. And I'm just wondering whether the cast would like to discuss that issue and whether they would like Australians to be pushing for the justice and for compensation from the Indonesian military for the crimes they've committed.
We have a very small amount of time left, but maybe I could condense that into... in the best way I could, into asking whether the film does have some... Luigi, you can take that.
Yeah, I agree with that. Of course, there's, you know, a debt of honour that goes right back to the Second World War. I don't think Australia will ever push for justice for East Timor because, you know, it's implicated in what happened and through its foreign policy and relationship with Indonesia. And that's something that Horta has also stated, even though Horta and Jonana do push for reconciliation. But I think politically it will not happen. Even though it should, but...
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Lourdes, we might just take a final comment and then we'll finish, but please.
I have a school friend here. She's called Beatrice. Can she just say a few words?
Yes, she can. Of course she can.
Thank you.
Please either take the microphone up there or up here.
She's my friend. And we haven't seen each other for a long time. And sorry.
No, that's okay. This is reunions and reconnections are part of what Beatrice's
sort of
war is about. Yeah. Beatrice, please.
My name is Beatrice. I was at the movie premiere and I felt like I was watching my own life story as I had a very similar experience. And thank you, Luigi, for showing the world what happened, really happened in Timor during Indonesian time. That's all I want to say.
Thank you. Thank you, Beatrice. And please join me in thanking the representatives of Beatrice's war, Luigi, Betty, Lourdes, Jose, and Irim, for coming along and talking to us today.
This session of the 2013 Adelaide Festival of Ideas was recorded by Radio Adelaide through the support of the Bar Smith Library, University of Adelaide, the University of South Australia Library, and Flinders University Library.